Curled up in her black down parka, Martha Lehman lay on her side, back pressed firmly against the polished wood door, knees drawn tightly to her chest. The white block lettering on the door read, "Dr. Evelyn White Carson, psychiatrist." Martha was aware only of the rough, cold carpet pressing into her cheek and of long, ragged breaths that repeatedly dragged her out of a trance. Thus, for an hour before sunrise bled pink hues through the window at the end of the second-floor hall, she lay in a stupor, hounded again by a dreadful loneliness. In wakeful moments, with a fervor born of an all-too-familiar pain, she renewed a childhood vow. Silence, she thought, had never betrayed her, and it was silence she'd cling to now. Silence had brought her to Dr. Carson as a child, and silence she would trust again. Then it had been Carson who had understood the wordlessness, the sorrow and isolation of a mute child. It will be Carson now, she prayed, who will remember? Thoughts formed only intermittently in a cold, tortured nightmare of helplessness. Silence again, she vowed, now more than ever before. The snap and pop of blue cotton shirts and black denim vests in a stiff winter breeze, clutching at her from a clothesline. Alone again, and safe that way. Menacing, cracked lips that sternly mouthed, "Save your little sisters!" A childhood nightmare, empowered somehow to hurt her again. How had she known? A man's blue shirt tore loose from the clothesline, enveloped her face, and smothered her, its weight unbearable, its odor a familiar horror. On weak child's legs, she struggled to carry the burden of an adult and managed to breathe only in gasps. Too soon for her to have known it, and yet she had. The wind began to whisper judgment from the clothesline, shirt sleeves snapping near her eyes, wagging fingers, all of them. Fallen like Babylon, Martha Lehman. So choose, young Martha, an urgent voice pleaded. Choose the better way. Sonny, what have you done? The frowning congregation walked out of the barn, all their faces down, all their backs turned. No one dared to believe it possible, to accept the hell it signified. What plans now? He's lost to you. No place for plain girls in his murderous world, nor any place in the old. No haven for outcast girls. The cold tracks of tears on her cheeks slowly awakened her. She unclasped her knees and felt a binding stickiness between her fingers. Unzipping her parka, she instinctively pressed her palms to her belly and felt the stickiness there, too. Sitting up, she brushed hair from her eyes, smearing her forehead. She looked down in confusion and saw her white lace apron stained dark red. Gasping, she fell back on her side, knotting her fingers into the bloody fabric. Vaguely now, she recalled brief snatches of last night's disastrous conversation with Sonny's mother. She dimly remembered driving away in the snow. A sleepless night of confusion and frustration, her decision to go back. The blood, running, fleeing in the storm. But these were indistinct memories. Perhaps more dreams, she thought, as she lay motionless. Mere impressions, as if her mind had conjured events that her heart could not allow.